This is Sunday morning, January the 12th, 2000, or 2020. It's kind of hard to say this. You can't say 2000 anymore. You have to say 2020. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. This is called Disciples of Christ, Students of the Word. And this is a guideline that the Lord gave me that as we go about our business, and we minister to people, we have a responsibility towards these people. The Lord doesn't put many in my life at a time that I'm doing that for, but I stay with them as long as the Lord allows me to be with them, in implementing books or saying things the Lord tells me to say to them. Sometimes He lets me do it for years, sometimes it's shorter. But this is just a good gauge, and I think that we don't want to just get them born again and just love them and leave them. You know what I'm saying? We're not helping them by doing that. There's more to it than that. Jesus said, go make disciples. Well, a disciple is a student of the Word. Okay. Many people, after they get born again, have no clue about what they are supposed to do. They may ask, what is my responsibility as a Christian? We're going to look at some scriptures here. This is Romans, the first one. Romans. This is a born-again scripture. This is Romans 10. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? They receive salvation according to Scripture. You know, it's always good to ask somebody because they'll say, are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, how do you know that? How do you know you are? Well, I asked Jesus in my heart. Okay. Say there's a Bible way to do it. All right, then Ephesians 5, from there, the next responsibility. Ephesians 5:18. It says to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Then it says, giving thanks always for all things. That'd be something if we were trained right at the beginning that you always give thanks. All right, now the real work begins. Acts 2:38 also tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Peter, he preached that day. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to talk about it's a promise to you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Okay, being born again and filled with the Spirit. Then you're in a place for the real work to begin in the believer. Romans 12. I carry many books, probably God's Medicine and the one on Why Tongues are probably two of the main, and Obedience and Finances too. Those three I've given out more than any in words, people understanding, you know, changing their words. All right, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, if you're not in your Bible, how are you going to do this? It's not possible. So a lot of times I'll even buy a Bible if it's, you know, warranted. Because if you don't have a Bible, how are you going to do this? But it goes further than that. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And for as many as have, and as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So he's going on to talk about the grace gifts here. So I believe once you get your mind renewed so that you can know God's will for you, then grace is imparted to you to execute that will. People need to know they've got a purpose in the body of Christ. You don't just get born again and don't do nothing. I think that's probably the problem. We've gotten so used to just being the leader that does everything. We just come and hear whatever and go on about our business all week and then here we're back again the next week. That's not what church is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be getting you fit for doing the work of the ministry. Training you, Ephesians says, the fivefold ministry gifts are to teach the people so that they will do the work of the ministry, mature the saints to do the work of the ministry. Okay, look at 1 Peter 2, 2. We have a responsibility. And it says here in Peter 2, 2, 1 Peter 2, 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And it would be good probably to give them that analogy right there that if a newborn baby comes into the world, if you lay the baby over there on the bed and never tend to it, it will die. The baby has to have milk to grow. Well, spiritual growth is a lot like physical growth. You have to have spiritual milk, which is the Word of God, to grow as a Christian. If you're not going to do that, then you're probably never going to be viable and useful. Okay. It's not just a bless me club. It is not a spectator sport. It's more like going into the military. You become a soldier of the cross. Your life is no longer your own. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures on that. 2 Timothy 2:4. Well, it says in verse 3, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now I know as far as a soldier is concerned, there are very few things that ever pull a soldier off the field. I mean, their babies are born and they weren't able to be there and they're just, you know what I'm saying? They are not their own anymore. So they have to do what command tells them they have to do. And there's very few things that let them come out of duty to take care of affairs at home even. And we honor that and respect that, but how much more so should we be doing it in the church? How much more important is it in the church? Okay, Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So what do we have armor for? We're not going to do anything with it. We're just going to stick it in the closet. All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The United States military, the government owns you. Well, God owns you. Time to take up your cross and follow Him. That's what this is about. This is not to get born again and go about your merry way. No, it's about finding your place in the army of the Lord and then taking up your cross and following him. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Okay, Matthew 16:24. I stick with him till the Lord releases me. That's what it means to disciple somebody. You don't have to be a fivefold minister to do that. We're all supposed to do that. 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See, people strive their whole life to build empires here, and everything is put into that. It means everything. They give no God any credit or any time or anything like that. But then when the end comes, that's when it bites you. This is to be taken as seriously as if you were going into the military. We aren't just vegetation. All right, a baby doesn't stay a baby. The baby drinks milk, then eats meat, and he grows up and is a part of society. No different with spiritual growth. We did not come to church to be blessed, but to bless. We've had it wrong. Hope the preacher's got something good this morning. I had a tough week, and I tell you what, I need it. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it's been? All responsibility on whoever's behind the pulpit, and then if we didn't do nothing, they're just dry as dust. They need a new fresh anointing. Now, I know that's the truth. Okay. We did not come to church to be blessed, but to bless. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. And how is it then, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Paul had to set some order in the Corinthian church because everybody was doing this at home and coming to church and trying to speak over each other. Everybody was so full and they had everything. You talk about a blessed meeting to have just flowing out of everybody what God is saying to them all week. That's the way it's supposed to be. Being a Christian consists of believing and speaking. This is 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. This is our duty. That's what we do when we get in our third heaven authority, seat ourselves with Jesus, reign with him in heavenly places, and began to decree and speak across the land God's plan. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I say we're supposed to be doing that more than anything else, except winning the lost. Not speaking, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Or speaking about their mountains, how hard it was all week, how hard the mountain is, how tall the mountain is. We're supposed to be speaking to the mountain, get. This is how we rule and reign. Romans 5:17, reign in life as kings. As you renew your mind and you begin to see God's will, you will receive grace for your part in God's will. That's Romans 12:1-8. Everyone has something that they are called to do. No spectators, only participators. From the beginning, God has laid down as his plan for man to rule and reign. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And people are screaming all the time, God, why don't you do something about this? When is the president going to do something about this? Why don't Congress do something? Why don't the senators do something? Why? When he gave us the ones that call the shots. The soldiers take the hill. We have been given the land and we must stake our flag. We don't want a communist Antifa flag flying on our hill. Also, as Christians, we are to pray two prayers that he has laid down in his word to keep divine order. Praying for your leaders first in the Lord's Prayer. If we'd have been faithful to do that, I don't think we'd be here. You know what? God didn't give us a whole lot to do. He gives us a few things to do. And we muck that up. Me too. I had to repent over the 8 years of Obama. I couldn't stand to look at the man or listen to the man, much less pray for the man. Clinton, the same way. And I was wrong. I should have been praying for them. They needed God more than anybody needed God. Maybe we wouldn't have seen such a mess if we'd had of. To know God's will, you must first know his word. If you don't take time to do this, it is a total waste. Many live and die and never know God's will, and it is a shame. Knowing God's will should be the very first thing that we do. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Unfortunately, there only seems to be a remnant that actually do it the right way. Many are called, but few are chosen. They are destructive and not productive. We are told to occupy. The word occupy here means to busy oneself and to trade. We will give an account of what we have done with what he asked us to do. The parable of the talents. When he talks about the sheep and the goats, well, when did, you know, You get a reward because when you saw me hungry, you fed me. You saw me in prison, you came and visited me. You know the list. Well, when did we do that, Lord? The much as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. And the ones that he sent away, when did we not do it, Lord? Well, you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren, so you didn't do it to me. All right, his business. We will give an account whether we do it or not. The choice is up to us. But we have a responsibility as Christians. You know why we fell asleep? Because we weren't doing the Master's business. Now, there's always been some that were awake and didn't fall asleep. We have to give credit where credit's due. There have been people that for over 20 years have been talking about what's going on right now and trying to get people awake, and people laugh at their faces. They're called conspiracy theorists. They're called whatever else. A very lonely bench they sit on. But now the public is awakening. People are beginning to wake up and see the truth. All right, he told us in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 to go into all the nations. One place or one translation says, make disciples. Teach them what I've taught you. He taught them about the kingdom of God. That's the gospel of the kingdom. He said to make disciples, students of the word. I truly believe that if we lead someone to the Lord, it is our responsibility to begin to disciple them or send them where they can be discipled. Don't just leave them hanging. It's like leaving that baby over there with no formula, no bottle. We understand this naturally, like going to college to be a doctor or lawyer. People spend years and lots of time and money to becoming a doctor or lawyer. How much more so should we be dedicated to being a disciple of the Word and discipling others? I mean, people, they will spend, well, Danny knows someone that their son spent 12 years to be an orthodontist. You know, they'll do anything, work three jobs, do whatever to get that education. That's a temporal thing. But then I wonder, how many are willing to do that in the Word of God, which is so much more important? And I think that's why a lot of times you see lots of kids come out of college and they have all these massive student loans and everything, and they still don't know what they want to do. It was just a waste. If they'd have sought the kingdom first, God would have told them, this is what I want you to do, and they could have done it and they'd be happy. All right, we are spirits that live in a body and have a soul. It should be spirit first. Just think, if we all did this, it would be heaven on earth. We'd have the devil kicked out of it. We would. We'd be taking some land. We'd be taking some ground. We'd be making some progress.